The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Mark chapter 2, Jesus heals a paralyzed person after his friends let him down through a hole in the roof. Who was this man? And what are lessons we can learn from this story? Thank you for being here today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd love for you to know more about us. Our website is faithalone.org. You can also watch and listen to our YouTube videos on the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Once again, our website, faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion on Mark 2, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
We are continuing our little dipping our toe into the Gospel of Mark, and we've moved on to Chapter 2.
And Chapter 2 is interesting because you've picked a passage about a paralytic.
Right.
Now, what a paralytic is someone who's paralyzed. So
right.
Are we thinking this person's paraplegic, quadriplegic? What do we think? I mean, he can't walk, right, because they carry him in.
Right. Well,
actually, they lift him down through ceiling tiles.
Right. We know he can't walk, and that's about,
so
you know,
he's either paralyzed from the waist down or from the shoulders down.
Right. I mean, could he move his arms? We're not really told. He can't walk. But this guy's interesting. Seems to me that he's a picture of something. What is he a picture of?
Right. Mark wouldn't put him in his gospel unless there was some point to it. Obviously, the fact that Jesus healed people in and of itself is a reason to put incidents into a gospel. But there's more to it than that. All the gospel writers are trying to convey some theology. And by the way, almost every commentator says that, right?
Right.
The gospel writers are not just giving us a history of Jesus. They're doing that with an aim of conveying certain theological truths. In the case of Mark, it's about discipleship.
As a matter of fact, the title for the commentary that we're looking at producing is Lessons in Discipleship for the Gospel of Mark. And that's a major idea for Mark. And so, yeah, I take the view that this guy is teaching us discipleship truths. And obviously, there's a difference between being a believer and being a disciple.
Right. Well, you say obviously. We think
we
it's
think obvious.
Most of Christianity thinks it's obvious that a believer is a disciple.
Right. They say they're synonymous.
And that if you're not following Christ, you're either lost your salvation or you're never saved or you're no longer on the saving path or whatever. But if you're not a disciple, you're not born again.
And the other thing, which is wrong. And Bob and I haven't talked about this, so I'll be kind of interested in what you think, Bob. In this account, Jesus heals this man, and he has four friends who carry him to the house where Jesus is.
Okay, so yeah, let's tell the story real quick. You got Jesus in this house, which a lot of people around him, and evidently there's so many people that the front door's blocked, right?
Right.
They can't just carry him in.
And from what I understand, houses in first century Galilee were very small. And so it would have been impossible for a man being carried on a bed with four friends to get in there. And
so
that's
they
the problem.
Actually go up on the roof,
right?
Remove ceiling tiles, and they're letting him down with ropes, evidently, in front of Jesus.
That's right. And so they lower him down into the presence of Jesus. Jesus, when he sees him, says, "Your sins are forgiven."
Yeah, now that's kind of bizarre, right?
Right.
And he says that before he heals him.
That's right. You could look at this story and say, once Jesus says your sins are forgiven, that's the end of it. But the religious leaders are there saying, well, why is this guy blaspheming? And so,
because only God can forgive sin.
Because only God can forgive sin.
And they don't know this is God in their presence.
That's exactly right. And then Jesus says, well, which is easier, to tell this man that his sins are forgiven or to say, take up your bed and walk? And then he says, I'm going to heal this guy to show you that I'm able to forgive sins.
Okay, now here's a question, and I asked you this during the break before we started this, and I thought you had an interesting point. If this guy's an unbeliever, isn't it kind of odd that Jesus would say your sins are forgiven? I mean, don't some people think this is the point at which the man is born again?
Exactly. And obviously at GES, we teach that the forgiveness of sins is not the same thing as receiving eternal life.
Right. 1 John 1:9. If we as believers confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's the thing. If this is when the person is born again, where did Jesus evangelize him?
Exactly.
I mean, he's not saying anything about eternal life, about believing in me, Nothing like John 3:16. So what in the world is this forgiveness? You don't think he's forgiving an unbeliever, do you?
No, my view is it says before that, that seeing their faith.
Plural.
Yeah, he saw there. Yeah, the four guys plus the guy on the bed. He says to the guy, your sins are forgiven. I say Mark is saying these guys believed that Jesus was the Christ. Yes,
they all did. All
yeah,
five
these five guys. And I say that the picture here is of believers who are seeking to be close to the Lord. And that's what they do. This is a beautiful picture.
So they want the healing of the paralytic.
Absolutely.
But they want more than that.
Yeah. They believe that Jesus is the Christ. And because of that, they also believe, they're convinced that it is true that he can heal their friend. And the man on the bed does as well. When Jesus says your sins are forgiven, this is a picture of fellowship.
So he's basically saying, okay, you're in fellowship with me.
Exactly. And in that culture, his infirmity would have been a sign in the Jewish mind that he was cursed by God.
Like John chapter 9, who sinned this man or his father
exactly.
That he was born blind?
Exactly. And so Jesus, when he says your sins are forgiven you, he's saying we're in fellowship here.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
All right, I got another question. Your sins are forgiven you. Is he saying, right now, I'm forgiving your sins? Or is he saying, your sins are forgiven because you've been in fellowship with me and you're still in fellowship with me? And you don't see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Is he giving him forgiveness right then? Well, also, that's another question. Is he just forgiving the one or all of them?
Well, now, let me flip back that question at you. Remember, John came with a baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
And in our previous episode on Mark, we were talking about Jesus and John being to the nation of Israel. I think the other part of this is going on is what Jesus is saying is not only is he the Christ, and not only does he give eternal life, but he can forgive the sins of the nation as well. I want to be in fellowship with the nation. And this man is a picture. Yes, we can certainly apply it to a believer, but it's also a picture of the nation.
That he wants to forgive the whole nation.
Exactly. And he's able to do it. Because right now he's still going to the nation of Israel. He's still preaching to the nation of Israel.
And the nation is, in a sense, paralyzed.
Absolutely. The nation is sick. The nation is paralyzed, and he is able to heal the nation.
The nation really isn't walking.
That's
right. The nation is stagnant.
Right, and he's able to bring in the kingdom. He's able to give eternal life. He's able to have fellowship with the nation, and that is what he desires. And this man is a picture of that.
And the religious leaders who are present reject Jesus having the ability to forgive sins.
Yes.
And his ability to give eternal life and his ability to have fellowship between God and man, initiate that with people.
Exactly. And I think this guy, as we apply it to believers, I think it's also a beautiful picture. Look at the trouble, for lack of a better word, that they go through to get into the presence of the Lord. First off, they carry a man on a bed. I don't know how far these guys traveled. How far did they come? We don't know. But even if it's half a mile, that's a lot of work.
Right.
And then you get to the house and you can't get in the house. So what do you got to do? You got to carry the guy up on the roof. You know, they go, well, there were probably stairs up there. That's tough.
And then you're going to have to rebuild the roof later.
That's right. You got to destroy the roof. And here's the other thing. When they destroy the roof, what does the owner think of that?
Yeah,
you're going to have to replace this roof. And I don't think this is talked about very much. What would the Lord think? He's in the house teaching, and all of a sudden dust and grass and wood and whatever else comes falling down upon him. How's he going to respond?
That's great.
But you see these men who are paying the price to be into the presence of the Lord. And then, of course, the picture itself is This guy is placed at the feet of the Lord.
So eternal life, free gift, but fellowship with God has some conditions.
Oh, yeah. These guys, I mean, they paid not only effort, but expenses. You know, you have to say, well, I'm going to have to replace this guy's roof.
Well, plus they probably were ridiculed and rebuked by the religious leaders there because they considered Jesus to be a false teacher.
And they considered the crippled man as being cursed by God. And some of that dirt and grass and everything was falling on the religious leaders. You know those guys were mad. And I think this guy is a beautiful picture, not only of what the Lord can do for the nation and what he's offering the nation, but also the cost of discipleship. We talked about discipleship, lessons in discipleship, that these guys, and by the way, they didn't have any rope with them when they got there. They didn't know they would need rope as they were carrying this guy there, and they get there. They had to go get the rope. That, yeah. You know, they didn't have an Ace Hardware. So they would have had to find the rope and then take their friend up on the roof, destroy the roof, put the ropes in, lower the... This was a lot of work. And this is not a picture then of this guy saved.
Yeah.
This is a picture of we want to be in your... We know you can... Obviously, they believed he could heal him. But it's also a beautiful picture of discipleship.
And they want to be in fellowship with Jesus.
And the forgiveness of sins brings that fellowship.
Now, didn't you say something when we were talking during the break about how the man is before Jesus? He's like, in a sense, he's worshiping. They're all worshiping Jesus to some degree.
Mm-hmm. This guy, he's just a great picture of all these things. You know, again, the difference between being a believer and being a disciple. And as we said earlier, there's a difference between the forgiveness of sins and receiving eternal life. My view is that he's a picture of a believer, and now he's a picture of the fellowship that the Lord desires. And by the way, he desires it with this man who's a cripple, this man who was looked down upon as cursed by God. He desires fellowship with everyone who believes in him.
That's great. And the last verse, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." This man can't walk, now he can walk.
Right.
Maybe he was walking with the Lord spiritually before that, but now he's able to go out, and with him he's taking the message about Jesus to other people.
Yeah, and the message to the nation was, here's the one that can heal us. Here's the one that can forgive us of our sins. Obviously, he's the Christ. He can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone?
He's ready to bring in the kingdom.
There you go. Amen.
All right. Well, thank you.
Keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, The Deadly Danger of Legalism. Please join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.